And he leads us in the way we should go. Yes, through his Spirit, but primarily through his Word. He changes our heart through his Spirit. He changes our mind with the Word of God. It's no wonder that one of the names for Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is literally the embodiment of the Word. That Bible you held up, when Jesus Christ came into this world, he embodied that very Word. He was the incarnation of everything that Word stands for and means. It was all about him anyway. It was all about him anyway. Praise God. And so Dennis and Mary Lou, and Tom and... where's your beautiful wife? Okay, Lisa around the corner. Dennis and Mary Lou, Tom and Lisa, I would exhort you today. We need to train our children to know this Word so that they can know how to know Him. And we need to raise them in that. I would like to give you four beautiful parents a passage today, a guideline for training your children in the way they should go. To me, this is the most powerful verse I know in the Bible about how to train up your kids in the way they should go. And I've preached on it very often. If you're tired of hearing me, oh well, take a nap. We've got some food in a few minutes. But I'm going to preach on it again. And guess what? The next baby dedication we have, I'm going to preach on it again. And I'm going to preach on it after that. And I'm going to keep on preaching this Word until you say, John, I can say it by heart. I've heard it so much. Praise God, that was my whole intention. So here we go again. This is known to Jews as the Shema. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. The Lord said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, if you were to go to Bible college, one of the principles they would teach you in how to understand the Bible is when there are words that are used frequently in a Bible passage, that's a clue as to what it means. So, I mean, seriously, if you're ever sitting around reading your Bible and there's something that jumps out and you're like, "I really like this, I'm going to read this passage." If you want to get something, some more out of it, look for the most commonly used words. What word is used most often in the passage you're reading? That's a clue as to its meaning. And when you look at this passage here, the words "you" and "your" appear over 20 times in this passage. Guess what? That's a clue. It's a clue. It's basically saying that you yourself are the most important influence and power in your child's life. What you do about the Word of God will have the most powerful impact on your child's life in helping them to know Him. You. If that's you, say me.
Me,
yeah. You. Me too. In fact, the greatest... somebody asked Jesus one time, you know, there was like, you know, 600 different commandments in the Bible, you know, several hundreds of pages. They said, what is the greatest commandment of all in the Bible, in Scripture? He quoted verse 5. He said, the greatest commandment of all is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. He said, number 2 is just like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But this is the most important one right there. And then after verse 5, now notice verse 5 for a second. Who shall love the Lord your God?
You.
You shall love the Lord what? Your God with all
your.
and all
yours.
And all
yours.
Yeah. The Word of God should be in your heart. Why? Because who you are. Please hear, if I say nothing else, please hear this. Who you are speaks so much more than what you say. Who you are will speak volumes to your children. That's what your children learn, not what you say. They can't even remember what you say 2 seconds after you said it. Get dressed, it's time to leave. 2 minutes later, are they dressed? I think not. They don't remember what we say. They remember who we are. And so it's critically important that before we can have any influence on them to know Him, we must know Him ourselves, and His Word must be in our heart, and we must live that life ourselves. If we don't know Him, they never will, because our children see us. They see us in the good, the bad, and the ugly. They see what, you know, all these guys around here that are surrounding you, they see you the way all your friends don't. They see you behind closed doors. They see you on your good days. Oh, buddy. They see them other days too. They live with you. They see how you spend your time. What you spend your time doing, that's what they see. That's what they're learning as you're spending your time doing it. They see, guess what? They see how you spend your money. They learn from that. They see how you speak to each other, the words you use and the tone of voice you use to each other. They hear that so clearly. And it's scary when you hear your child saying the very phrases and words that you use yourself. They hear the tone of voice. They see how you go about resolving differences. Now, I know some of you are so happily married that you never have any arguments or differences of opinion. Your life together is a veritable path of a garden of flowers. Do you think they hear your words to each other? Do you think when they see something go wrong and they know in that split second, that microsecond between when something goes wrong and the time you open your mouth, they know where that thing is going? They can feel it in their gut. And as soon as you open their mouth, they're like, yep, knew that was coming. They see that. They hear that. They learn. They learn from that. Your life is a classroom for your children. They see whether you have a prayer life. And I'm not talking about when you come to church and raise your hands and go, la da 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 yada da da blah da 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 da, on and on and on. They see whether you ever bend the knee at home behind closed doors. Have they ever caught you in the act of praying? They ever open the door suddenly and catch you in a secret prayer? Why not? Why not? Did they ever catch you with your Bible open? Came around the corner. You weren't expecting them. Oh my gosh, I've got my Bible open. What if they saw? Have they ever? Why not? Why not? Why not? They're learning from you. You're teaching them by what you do or what you don't do. Do they ever hear you pray? Do they ever hear you quote Scripture just out of the blue, sitting around the dinner table eating fried chicken and, I don't know, liver or something? Fried chicken liver, man. Rocks. Do they ever see you sitting there and you're having this conversation, all of a sudden Scripture just comes out of your mouth? Lord just laid on my heart the other day. Blah, 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 blah. Isaiah 55 or something. They hear that? Why not? How do you respond to pressure in a crisis when you get that little blue envelope or that little pink envelope in the mail, or you get that phone call from your boss or from some relative, or somebody cuts you off on the highway while you're fantasizing about dragging them out of their car and beating them to a pulp secretly? How do you handle? Do you become unglued and fall apart when things don't go your way? Do you throw a fit and a tantrum and run around the house screaming and throwing stuff and kicking the door and hurting your toes? Or do you stand strong in the faith and just take a deep breath? Whew, didn't see that one. Ouch. I think I need to pray. Would you pray with me? You ever ask your kids to pray with you? Would you pray with me? How much that means to them? Me? Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's pray. Let's pray. Do they see you declare your trust in God in the midst of unimaginable pain? All of these things teach volumes to our children, whether we want it to or not. For better or for worse, all of these things teach volumes to our children. Our life is the classroom. And so we're commanded to model, first of all, before anything else, model our faith to our family. Model it. Live it. And second, we're commanded to teach our faith to our family. Now, and I'm getting to the close of this. You guys have been very patient. And I'm sorry if I've been, you know, blah, 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 blah. But something leaped off the page. The first 3 years ago when I was preaching on this thing, when the Herbers were getting ready to go and we had that baby dedication. You remember, okay, or you don't, doesn't matter. Anyway, something leaped off the page. Yeah, Mary remembers. Yeah, wave, Mary. Mary remembers. And I was looking at verse 7, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart. Verse 7 says, you shall, talks about these things that I command you, that God commands. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and, that means something else, and shall what? Talk about them. When you sit in the house, walk by the way, lie down, rise up. In other words, when you're with your children, you shall teach them, and talk about them. Isn't that interesting? That means they're two different things. That means they're talking about two different things. One is you should teach them to your children, teach them to your children. That's you talking. Teaching them. But the other, he says, and this is so critical, please, this is so critical. He says, you shall talk of them. That's two-way conversation. That means you say a little bit and then you listen. And when they say whatever comes out of their mouth, you embrace that and receive it as though it were the precious treasure of life. And let them see you receive that. Because that to a kid is the most priceless treasure in the world. My mom wants to know what I think about this. My mom is willing to stop. My dad is willing to stop and hear because he cares what I think about it. He wants to hear my opinion, my brilliant. And before they become teenagers, they really do think you're smart. And then they turn 13, it's like, I don't know where all that knowledge went. You know, dad used to be an incredibly brilliant man, but you know, good grief. Wonder the man can dress himself in the morning. I don't know. Sometimes he can't. Dad, what were you thinking when you put that on? But while they still think that you're intelligent and know everything, before they realize that it's them that really knows everything, for you to care what they think is gold to them. Praise God. So one has to do with you telling them what the Bible says, and that's cool. But the other has to do with you talking with them about it and asking them questions and listening to their thoughts. Man, ask a kid about God, they'll tell you some crazy stuff. Do it, if nothing else, for the entertainment, just to hear what the heck is going to come out of their mouth. Ask them, you know, how do you think God got the stars up there? I mean, every night you go out there, they're in the same place pretty much. They've shifted a little bit. What makes them stick up there? And just see what they say. Man, I'm telling you, it'll be entertaining. You can't pay for that kind of entertainment. I wish TV was that interesting.